This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Well, hello and welcome once again to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the only show on the internet, on the radio, wherever you want, which is 100 million percent dedicated to Mansfield Town FC. Probably. Today, a little bit different setting. We are again, once again, in Berryhill Park, but we are at Big Sats. Looking out to the lake behind us, enjoying the evening sound, and here to talk Mansfield Town once again. And we're back to the Fabulous Four, Cam Felton, Nathan Edge, Mark Bunn, and me. And these have all come sort of dressed in normal suits. I'm here in the shirt and tie after today's work. So I do apologise for the overly dressed. I thought we were going out for a posh meal, but clearly not. Clearly Nathan's
listen, I'm
yeah, well, that's it. Clearly
Nathan's we thought you was paying, up. So...
Well, I thought Nathan was paying, so apparently, obviously, no bronze medal today, so clearly he's had that down.
He made job already.
Only reward for the first place, I'm afraid.
Fair play. Yeah. Well, let's talk about, obviously, the Stags then once again. And we sit reflecting yet again on another frustrating, I wouldn't say disappointing performance, but let's say frustrating to say the least at Carlisle, a 1-1 draw.
I think it's frustrating, definitely is the word, because we had the chances to go out and win that game. Fair enough, there were some fantastic saves by their goalkeeper, but to be honest, it's like another missed penalty. Really, we should be putting these away. We think we went, what, two years without getting a penalty? Recently, we've got quite a few, and we just can't take them chances. And at the point of the game, we were just starting to get on top of that game then, and I think that really let Carlisle back into the game for the second half, because they didn't seem up to it as much as we did.
Mark, obviously, you were there as well. What's your thoughts on the game? We were obviously sat together watching, so what's your viewpoint?
Yeah, more of the same again. I mean, it's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, again, you know, we were on top of them, in the second half especially. I think we was on top of them and we played some good football, but again, three penalties in a row now we missed. I mean, you know, it's... We're playing well, but again, it's just we should be doing better than what we are, I think, with the players we've got.
And Nathan, obviously, you know, Mark and Cameron both mentioned it there, three missed penalties, obviously, listening on Saturday. When the commentator screams Mansfield have got a penalty in the over elaborate way that they do, as I know myself, penalty!
Yeah.
Bit of an example, see you later away. Does that start to fill you with a little bit of dread now, knowing that we've missed 3-3? Do you think, here we go again?
Well, when we did get the penalty shout, I actually, it's probably the first time where I didn't get excited myself. I don't know what it is this season, but we're just not having much luck. Even in pre-season, I know when it came up to when we got the penalty against Carlisle, we know Lee Angle was there, he wanted it, didn't he? He wanted to take it. Even he missed one in pre-season out in Malta. I mean, he hit it well, but it was saved. So really, he's also missed one if you count pre-season. And then when I remembered Kane Hemmings was on the pitch, I actually thought that's a little bit where I had a bit of belief that we might actually put it away. And to be fair, it wasn't a bad pen, was it? It was a good save. In comparison to the last two, it wasn't a bad pen. So we'll give him that, but it is disappointing the fact that this seems to be costing us a few... I think really it's probably cost us about 6 points now. You know, we should have... clinched the game against Luton. That would have been 3 points there. That could have won us a game as well at Carlisle, and another 3 points as well.
And you think, would that have possibly got us into the second round of the Cup? It was 1-0 Rochdale at the point. We were absolutely hammering their goal. We get this penalty. and all of a sudden we start stumbling.
Now you see, that's
after
the only
that.
That's the only penalty that I look back on and say that wasn't an error from a Stags player. I mean, you look at the conditions that night, as we said after.
They were poor. Yeah.
There was only one way you could go, and that was hitting that hard and low, and the keeper knew that. That's smart goalkeeper.
Do you think that changed the game though? Because the Stags seemed to stutter slightly after that.
Well, of course it did. Yeah, missing a penalty 100% knocks your confidence. And I don't think, if we're being completely fair, it's only by luck that we got back into the game. I mean, that's not taking any away from Callum Butcher, what a finish it
was. Beautiful.
The deftest of touches to lob it over the keeper with such precision.
Yeah.
But you've got to ask yourself, you know, if a bit of luck didn't come our way like it did, would we have got back in the game? I don't think so from the way we were playing.
I think it was getting the penalty, great. We always had that thought in the back of our heads, we're going to miss this, we're going to miss this, we've not scored one yet. But I think that's what G'd the players on a bit more, knowing that we've missed penalties before and we've like just fizzled out in the game. We've not really pushed forward any more than that. So I think, to be honest, I think Carlisle on Saturday is a great way to respond to A, being 1-0 down and B, missing a penalty, because we played them off of the park most of the second half. We were just unlucky not to get the goals that we deserved.
Yeah. I think the thing is as well, Nathan, you mentioned there, you said 6 points. I've counted seven. Where obviously the opening day of the season, away at Crewe, we should have won. So that's 2 points dropped there. Again, Luton, 2 points dropped there. Accrington, fair to say we dropped a point there, so that makes five. And then obviously we dropped two. I think at Carlisle we should have probably beaten them as well. So 7 points dropped. Those 7 points at this stage in the season, yeah, it's early, and I agree with what Paul Rayner says. There's no need to get sort of het up about it yet. But you look at adding those 7 points to what we've already got, converting those draws into wins and that defeat into a draw, that makes us much more stronger and probably much more feared going into essentially what is a really tough September now.
You look at some of the games, obviously we've got a big local, it's not as big as what we've got coming up, but we've got local derby against Grimsby on Saturday. We've got Lincoln in the middle of the month, Notts County to finish the month off. We need to be proving ourselves.
Biggest game for me is on Tuesday night, Wickham.
Wickham are always a good test, and they've always been a physical side. We've struggled against them a lot of the time, draws or losses. So it should be an interesting intermatch, that one.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. Nate, what's your views on the points drop situation? I mean, it is early in the season. You've played in a tournament. You know, obviously you got off to a fantastic winning start with the England blind squad, but you will know as a group and know as a footballer and somebody who, you know, is in that environment, that it's not all about how you start, it is about how you finish. But the importance of getting those points on the board, it brings momentum, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most disappointing factor, is that I think we really could have done with a good start to the season. But I think we can take a lot of positives out of it. I know, like I say, it has been disappointing, the fact we have dropped, like you say, 7 points, and a lot of those games we really, really could have come out with a lot better. But we have put in some good performances, like for instance Luton. And let's face it, Luton are going to be up there at the end of the season. So if we can put in performances like that, as long as we cut out the silly mistakes, and as long as we, I think we still need to gel as a team. And I think that's a big factor, and that's why I think we're conceding the goals we have done as well. So as soon as we start gelling a bit more and we learn how to see out games, I think we'll come good. I think we're nearly there. I don't think we're that far off. So I feel like this will be a big month. I just hope we do hit a bit of form, because we've got so many games in September. And some big games as well. It's a massive opportunity for us. And to be honest, I think 3 points against Grimsby on Saturday will be absolutely essential.
Yeah,
I tweeted that after the game against Carlisle. I think we really do need to get 3 points on Saturday.
So is everyone else in agreement with that? Because I think, you know, getting 3 points at this stage, obviously, we're going to have... Let's not, you know, deny it. There will be more Illawong Cool Stadium on Saturday by virtue of the fact it is Grimsby being a so-called derby game, I say in inverted commas. But again, it puts pressure on, because if you put in a good performance, you put in a good win, some of those supporters, maybe 25-30% of them, then come back, and then come back again and again, and the gates grow and the money grows. And
I think it's this month, if you're wanting big gates, this is the month that you're wanting them. It'll be a near enough sellout away at Lincoln, that'll be a great atmosphere. It'll be near enough a sellout at home to Notts County. Wickham, not so much, I don't think, because it's a Tuesday night, kids are back at school. I think you'll be back down to your normal, just 2,500 like we were used to getting. But I think you look at the games that we've got, we need these supporters, and with, it's like, attendances don't win you games.
But they go a long way.
But they do go a long way. It's that fighting spirit. You look at Carlisle, we took, what, 200 and something with us? I think that we made plenty of noise. We were willing the team on. We were, and it does go a massive way. And I think without the supporters, you've not got a chance.
No, it's certainly something you've got to do there. So obviously get yourself down to the One Course Stadium on Saturday and 1 o'clock kickoff, of course. We'll talk a little bit more about Grimsby and about Wickham coming up, but obviously it's kind of near the start of the show, so guess what time it is?
Connection question.
Nath?
Yeah, connection question.
That's right, it's time for the connection question.
You're getting good at this.
I know, so it's like there's a format to this podcast. How dare we do something so organised? Every week I ask you guys on the panel a question which randomly links to an upcoming opposition, the upcoming opposition of that week. This one being Grimsby, so naturally, this one's going to have links with anyone, any guesses?
Fish?
Who knows? Obviously, the Stags suffered their worst defeat in the conference at the hands of Grimsby when they were battered on New Year's Day.
Oh, love the fish pun. Love the fish pun.
Thank you. Louis Briscoe scored one of the goals, but who got the other? Do you think you know? We'll start with Mark. Do you think you remember who? On that terrible day, were you there? On New Year's Day 2011? You lucky man. You think you remember? You could put a name to it, though?
Got that name in the idea.
Okay, Nathan, I'm sure. Were you there that day?
I was there, unfortunately. Yeah. I'm not going anymore there, to be honest. But I think, I don't know, but I'm going to take a guess.
Okay. Okay. And Cam?
I've got two names, but I can't remember if the player that I've got in my head scored or got sent off.
Right, okay.
So this I don't know, yeah.
Stay tuned to find out who those two names were. We'll reveal the answer at the end of the show. You see, that's how it works. It's a bit of a teaser, isn't it? It's getting them on the hook. It's almost like going, what is it? Fishing.
I was thinking crabbing.
Ironic as well, because we sat by a lake. Yeah. Watch this on the video. If you listen to the audio version and you've got no idea what we're on about, get on Facebook, facebook.com/MTFC Matters, and check out the video version of the podcast as well. Let's move on then by talking about deadline day. Obviously, we recorded last week's podcast on the Wednesday, so we missed deadline day, mainly because one of us sort of decided to go on a 3-hour long journey by themselves up to Carlisle, and I'll take you lot with me. Sorry about that, boys.
We got there eventually, right. Although Nath. We owe you one, Nath, don't we? We went, so...
No, so I was busy moving out, so I had a fancy on. That's why I didn't go.
Nathan is doing a very important job for the Mansfield Matters podcast. I think we can reveal this, Nathan's right to say, isn't it?
I don't know where you're going with this, so let's find out.
Something about a tub.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. When it gets to Christmas, you see, it's starting to get a little bit cold now, so today we're actually... What we're going to try and do here on the podcast is get to as many different places as we can, whilst it's still late and the weather's okay. But when it comes to sort of October, November, and it starts to get a little bit colder and a little bit, you know, weather's horrible. Nathan's just brought a house, which is in your vlogs.
Yep.
Check out youtube.com/ Nathan Ems.
Nathan and Emma.
Nathan and Emma. Okay. We'll put the links in the description, everything. And you've also made a very vital purchase for this, haven't you?
Yeah, it's top of my list.
So, first thing you brought, isn't it, as well?
Pretty much, yeah.
No kettle. No sofa, no any, just this particular item. Do you want to reveal what it is?
Yeah, I've decided to treat myself to a hot tub.
So there you go.
That's going to be the location of what's going on behind
it. Stop really loose. So you might be able to see that. Chasing the geese, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
Although Cam actually thought they were chickens earlier, which was also
quite funny. It's a meme. It's a meme.
Right, yeah. Obviously, you've purchased a hot tub purely for Mansfield Matters podcast. This
we,
is right.
We could say that, yeah. We'll
let's go with that. We'll think that you love us enough to buy us a hot tub.
Or is it Nathan's hot tub 1 week, my hot tub the other?
You've not got your hot tub. Your hot tub compared to Nathan's is... Nathan's is an
actual
hot
tub. Have you got like a proper jacuzzi sort of one?
That's one.
No, I've got a lazy spa.
And we'll
a lazy spa. That's essentially a glorified bathtub, isn't it? Yeah, it's a bowl that blows bubbles out, isn't it?
It's going to be blue and yellow as well, so don't worry.
Oh, so there you go. We will look forward to future podcasts.
It's not, by
recording.
The way.
Well, we can make
we'll
it blue and yellow.
Yeah.
Oh, this light, isn't it? Yeah. Future podcasts will be filmed in Nathan's hospital, be warned. Don't worry. We'll censor it, don't worry. So it's all fine. It's all good fun. Let's move on. What was I even saying? I was talking about... I can't remember.
Deadline day,
yeah, because we missed last week's podcast. Because, yeah. Let's not go down that tangent again.
Yeah.
Deadline day, of course... we saw one in, one out. Callum Butcher signed from Millwall. And, of course, George Taft left on loan, 6-month loan to Cambridge as well. First and foremost, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the outgoings or the incomings?
I want to start with Taft.
Taft.
Simply because of, I'm going to refer back to what I was saying last week, and I was actually very disappointed to see that Taft went out, to be honest.
I'm glad you've said that. I'm 100% glad you've said that, because I think, I mean, what's your reasoning for it? I mean?
My reason is, just plainly, well, one, I think he's a good player. I mean, we have got some very good players in defence, but I just think he's probably better than a few that we have got. And second, we're struggling on the left side at the moment. And I this is what I said in last week's podcast, that I felt he was going to be a good option to come in on that left side, because we know he can play there, but he's more of a defensive option. You've got Benning and Hunt, who are more wing and attacking minded. But he can very easily slot in there, and we need to see how games. When we talk about, you know, also playing at five at the back, I can see him on that left centre back. So that for me was disappointing, and I hope he has only gone out there to get some game time, and he's in Steve Evans' mind to feature in the future, and nothing else. I also hope he's not allowed to play against us as well.
That is true. Yeah. I mean, I would be inclined to say that is true, as to go as much as to sort of say, yeah, he's gone out to get game time, because if you look at last season, obviously when Steve Evans came in, and this is, it was proved in some cases as well, if there are players who are injured or there are players who aren't performing or whatever, a new manager will come in and say, right, I don't like you in that position, I'm going to get rid of you. Which, you know, prime example, Chris Clements. Ben Whiteman came in, Chris Clements went, and I went to Grimsby and to what have you. There are a few other examples in there which we could name. George Taft was obviously injured, but he was coming back from injury. Steve Evans knew of his quality, liked what he saw in training, was pleased with his attitude, and, you know, would have probably introduced him sooner if he'd have been fitter. So is it a case of Taft saying, look, I've come back from injury, I need some game time, are you going to offer it me, or am I going to get it? And, you know, hopefully he can go to Cambridge and come back, because I think if we got rid of George Taft, as much as people online are saying, you know, he's injury prone and, you know, he barely ever plays or whatever, I think he's a fantastic acquisition for us, and a good player.
I mean, you kind of feel for him, because he's not really been given a chance this season. I mean, I thought last season, well, especially at the end of last season, I thought he was on standout performance, to be fair. He's very unlucky not to, you know, been started at least.
Cam's laughed at me because I've put my coat on.
You've got your cold? So we decided to come outside just to get nice weather and...
What? What's your problem? I don't get what your problem is.
It's not cold. It's Nash.
It doesn't matter, does it? It's fine.
Carry on, Mark.
Yeah, sorry, Mark.
There you are. That's all right. Don't get cold.
It's one of those interesting things, isn't it, with the Taft situation? Because, you know, you look at the defenders we've got, and I think the point you raised, Nate, actually, that stability and that sort of, you know, strength on that left-hand side. If Johnny Hunt or Mal Benning gets injured, suspended, and then, you know, we're down to one, I don't see who else that we've currently got now with Taft being out could play in that left-back position.
Would you say that we'd possibly put CJ Hamilton back there just because we've got nobody else?
We can record.
That wouldn't work, that.
I think we'll probably be able to manage
with it, because they think he's very skillful. He knows what he's doing. He's a very, very good player, and I think he's very unlucky to be playing at conference level a lot of his career. So, but you know what? He's a very talented player, and if we had to put someone at left back, say we'd got Benning suspended and Hunt came on and he got injured halfway through first half or something, I think we'd probably be able to manage with Hamilton at the back.
I'd hope, even if it was a couple of months out, I'd hope he'd just recall him, to be honest. I'd rather see Taft come back in than
so that's the thing
put
now,
CJ there.
Because of the new rules, there's no more emergency loans or anything, so if you do get an injury...
Well, we can still recall Taft back.
We can still recall Taft, but like if we didn't feel that Taft would do the job, then we wouldn't be able to get anybody else in until January.
Well, no. But
and would it be worth running the risk or not?
I think that goes a long way to show why Steve Evans has signed so many players as well.
Definitely.
You know, we've dwelled on that in the past. So obviously, we talked about Taft there. That was the outgoing. The incoming was Callum Butcher, on a permanent deal, I think I'm right in saying, from Millwall. Many, you know, out there do rate him highly, and, you know, he came off the bench and scored within 2 minutes, didn't he? So,
oh, fantastic. Yeah.
Not a bad way to start, but that said, how many times have we seen a player come in, make an impact in his debut, and then gone, well, just sit back and relax now.
Well, that's it. I mean, we've got to give him a chance, obviously, then he came in and it's well played off the game, didn't it? So we've got to give the guy a chance, but I mean, I think a couple of Millwall fans were kind of surprised that he dropped down to League Two, so that speaks volumes for him on that.
And I think it'll be different with him because we've had players come in before and they've been playing on loan at clubs, whereas Butch has been playing first team football for a League One championship team and played in playoff finals, high tense situations, semi-finals, and I think that goes a long way that he has actually come into the club and wanting to get on with it. You see some players come into it, they're just there to get the game time, whereas Butch is wanting to come. So obviously he cancelled his contract with Millwall by mutual consent just so he can come to Mansfield.
The interesting point that you made is that, mate, they obviously were talking about obviously signing players on loan and not being able to do that and then change to the transfer window. There's actually a bit of a loophole there when you think about it, because one thing you can do under the new rulings is sign a free agent. So what you've noticed a lot on deadline day was a lot of players who were good players and, you know, could probably sit it out or do a job, we're actually cancelling the contracts with clubs, becoming effectively a free agent, which then frees them up to go and train elsewhere and sign during this period, because you can sign free agents all the way up to, I think, about 2 weeks before the January transfer window opens again. There's only that sort of 2 week period where you can't actually sign anyone at all. So free agents you can sign, so maybe Steve Evans has got his eye on a few there, who knows. But one thing Callum Butcher did do, obviously one thing he's lacking slightly in what Steve Evans has said as well, is obviously that fitness element. He played in the reserve team game yesterday at Rotherham, a 1-0 defeat, but when you look at the squad which played as well, obviously it was a loss to a penalty, how ironic. But we can't score one, but we can't save one either. It's interesting when you think about it, because the team that played, the starting 11 that played, was a side which could easily start in League 2. And once again, let's start with the fact it's imperative really that we are using these reserve leagues, because so many times we've seen the under-21s and the kids just be put out by previous managers and players who need game time just not be used because of travelling or whatever. But I think this year you've got, no matter when the reserve team game is, with the exception of the long trips, I think you are likely to see a very strong Mansfield Town reserve side again, using inverted commas.
It is interesting, and it really does show the depth that we've got in our squad. We've got, you look at the team that was playing in the reserves, that team could quite easily have outplayed most of our team last season.
Well, let's run through it. I mean, I've got it in front of me here. It's obviously a Lesnick in goal, back four of White, Diamond, Digby and Hunt. Obviously Digby playing centre back, he has played there before, I think he played there and at right back for Ipswich as well. Midfield of Butcher, Jack Thomas, Alfie Potter, Alex McDonald, and front two of Jimmy Spencer and Amari Sterling James, who, you know, they both need game time, they both need to get in there. But again, it's a very, very strong side, isn't it? And, you know, it could do a job. It's vital to get these players minutes.
Well, I think it is, because I think we're talking about their quality there. That is a very, very strong lineup, and I think, say, at any point, those players should be and will be called up into the first team, so they need to be not just fit, but they need to be match ready as well. And I think the more game time they can get in the reserves, and the better it's going to be. So I hope they do continue to play them.
I think a key thing is that what Evans said when he came in, when he was signing players back in January, obviously his first transfer window with us, you don't get fit to play, you get fit by playing. And I think that's one thing that will be crucial this season in the reserve games. The players that aren't quite fit enough to start a normal game gets that game time in that game, proves what they can do, prove they are fit, and put in a good performance to show that they are ready for that, for the big games.
One name which sprang out to me on Twitter, Mark, reading through the reports and whatever, was Alex McDonald.
Yeah.
Again, it's his... Yeah. Should he be in the, you know, the lineup? I mean, I think I like Will Atkinson, I rate him as a player, but I think over the last two games or so he's not been to the boil, and I think if you take your foot off the gas you're going to get overtaken, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, you look at him now, it's a different player to what he was last season. You know, he's a lot more fitter, he's raring to go, so I don't see why he's not playing, to be fair. I mean, I know Atkinson's been there for the start of the season, but I think he needs that, really, to bring him into the team and get him playing, because I think we've missed a bit of McDonald, really.
And I think one thing which we have had as well, and I mean, I know, you know, we're talking about different sides, but he can play on both sides and does predominantly seem to play on the left-hand side, which would bring Anderson over to the right and what have you. But he's a bit more of a defensive-minded winger. He gets forward and likes to attack and likes to create, but he's also muscly. He gets in, he's strong in the challenge, and which side of we've been saying it every single game for the past three or four games are we vulnerable on now?
Yeah, I take a guess.
Yeah, and, you know, would McDonald's introduction therefore move Anderson to the right, him onto the left, and give us a little bit more assuredness on that side?
I think it would, and I think
definitely, yeah.
Probably what we need, I think. Like Mark said, I think he's earned his place in the starting lineup, and that's what, with all these players coming in, like I say, with the depth of quality we've got, they've always said at the end of the day, any shirts are for grabs, and whoever shows that they want it and they earn it, then they should get it. So I hope that is the case, and he does come in. I don't think it's anything that, Axton's just been a little bit off the boil, but he's not played bad. But yeah, I think it's just the fact that McDonald's is probably just looking better at the moment. Yeah. It's simple as that. Yeah.
If you look at the Lincoln game, he really did boss that midfield with Alfie Potter as well. Them two worked really well together. Potter upright. McDonald up the left, very fast, both got fantastic footwork, Potter's a lot smaller than what McDonald is muscular wise, but he still gets stuck in.
Yeah.
Do you think that they deserve a place?
And Alfie Potter as well, if you go back to that Lincoln game, this sort of reflects a little bit on the England-Germany game last night actually as well, his fluidity and his movement box to box, getting us on the counter, opening them up so many times. Yeah. And I think in a game like Grimsby, where it's going to be a little bit more feisty,
yeah,
going to be a bit more fast paced, I think you need that counter attacking ability, because that's where you're going to get goals.
Definitely. Yeah. And Grimsby are always a big physical team, so I think most of their threats are going to be coming from set pieces, as per most local derbies, because you don't really get much fluidity in a local derby. It's all rough, ready tackles, just crack on with it. But I think if you want to get that extra edge, I think that's where you need to be playing football, getting the passes in.
Yeah.
And I think what we were playing against Lincoln really did work. It's just we don't seem to defend too well.
That's the issue, isn't it? And that, for me, that begs the question of whether it's down to the way we're setting up as a unit or individuals. But not gonna shy away from it.
We don't seem to react well to lumping it long.
No.
You can tell that Lincoln are a conference team, and you can tell that Forest Green are a conference team. Both them games, they were just lumping it long, hoping for a flick on. I don't think we're set up like that. We saw a lot of it at Crewe as well.
I mean, I think a lot of the things we blog about and we talk about do come across as negative sometimes. I want to avoid that, because what I think we are is, you know, when we get the ball and we start playing it and we have 2-3 touches and we have that fluid 2-3 touch movement, my mouth starts to wash and I'm thinking, bloody hell, we've got a chance here. And it's having that rather than in those short, have you heard of the training mechanism where, you know, you run 30, walk 2 and then you build it up, you run for 30 seconds, walk for 2 minutes and then you change it to a, you know, and gradually change it, you know what I mean, Nathan?
Interval training.
I knew that's the word.
Yeah.
Interval training. We're sort of doing that with possession a little bit. We're having that spell of bang 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 bang. Yeah. And then,
but then we have that.
Then it's
what? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the frustrating thing, isn't it? We know we've got the players to do it. That's the thing. And they can only get better in time.
Well, that's why I think we'll get more consistent. I think that we've got all that to come. And I'm still excited. I mean, like I say, it's disappointing start, but I'm still excited because we are only going to get better from here.
Yeah. And someone's going to take a battering, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Yeah, absolutely. No, hopefully it's Grimsby on Saturday. Yeah. But
I'd rather it be Notts County or Lincoln away. But well,
and I think this side as well is very capable of going on a long run.
Yeah.
And
that's
definitely what we're going to need. Yeah. You know, you look at the table this time last year, the teams that were down there, Exeter were down there, Plymouth were down there as well, weren't they? And you know, look where they end up at the end of the season. So we're only, what is it, 5 league games into it now?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a long way to go. And I fully believe in this squad that we've got more than enough there to go on a good run and really get some consistency in with us and move forward.
Certainly so. Well, let's move from the present to the past and do one of our features. Mark, you mentioned it last week. We did obviously the Mansfield Matters Mastermind Challenge last week. If you missed that, get on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel and go and check out Cam Felton's effort at that. We will bring that back next week. We'll do it on a bit of a rotation basis, which means this week it's the return of
11.
Nathan?
The Ultimate 11.
Cam?
What they said.
Return of the Ultimate 11. This is the part of the show where we pick a favourite player from a certain position, past, Past. I was going to say past or present, not present. It can't be a current player, of course. It can be a player who was on loan. It can be a player who was on trial. It can be a player who was, a permanent addition, whatever. It's got to be a player from the past and from a certain position. The only rule is you can't pick somebody that another member of the panel has already picked. So far, in the Ultimate Ever 11, in goal, Alan Marrett, which was, I believe, your choice, yeah. Mark. Right back was Alex Jean-Baptiste, which I believe was your choice, Mark. And the first centre back is Kevin Bird, which I believe was your choice, Mark.
Yeah, same again.
So, no pressure, but you've got three in there so far. So we're going to give you the first choice. We are again looking for the second centre back, so we're looking for Kevin Bird's centre back partner. Give me a name. Someone from the past, trialist, loney or otherwise, who are you going to put for your central defensive partner to Kevin Byrne? You must have been thinking about this, because last week you begged me to do the Ultimate 11 on the podcast. We're not doing the Ultimate 11, what's going on? I've thought about this!
Yeah, you get ideas, don't you, and then what do you think of?
I've got mine in my head, as long as nobody takes it.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it?
We're going to get criticised, because obviously it's not, recent player, but I'm going to say Tomazzoli.
Okay, that's fair play. Cam, you said you had somebody in your mind, so I'm going to make you wait. Nathan!
Damn it! Do they strictly have to play centre-back, as in? I'm not going to throw a strike about them, but it's a defender that could.
Give us a name and we will decide between us, because we did this for Baptiste, because we said whilst he technically wasn't a right back for us, he can play right back.
What I'd do in this, if this player was to be picked, I'd swap it with Baptiste. So.
We're very open for
I'm going to say Bobby Assel.
Okay, yeah, Bobby Assel, I think he was the choice for the right. Did you pick him for the right back?
I wasn't here.
Who picked him for right? Someone did pick him for right back,
because
it was Well, we didn't pick him, and Kirsty, when she came on, she said we should have picked Bobby Assel. So there you go. Yeah, so we'll allow it.
Kirsty's vote. Come on, Kirsty.
We'll allow it. Cam. In fact, I don't know whether, because if you take mine, I'm going to be about really annoyed.
No. I'll
say it now.
John Dempster.
Fair enough.
You weren't going to go for that.
He was my choice last time, actually.
Fair enough.
Went for centre back. My choice is the Welsh wonder, but it's Rhys Day.
Fair enough.
So we've kind of ish gone for recent players. I mean, me and Rhys Day have a couple of spells, a bit further back.
He's back playing now, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
About 90 now.
Yeah, I'm going to say so.
No offence, Rhys, if you're watching live.
Cracking on a bit. I thought he'd carried his brother's snooker cue nowadays, but there you go. Right then, so you were desperate to get your name out there, so should we let you first?
We've been a bit horrible
to you today. There's the whole car park incident before. If I remember, we'll put the footage in, Nathan. If you don't see any footage in this bit, then I forgot, sorry. Go on then, Cam, you've got the rules. You've got a minute to make your pledge for, and you should write these down as well. Cam, you went for Dempster, John Dempster, you did. See, I'm forgetting already, you only told me like 2 minutes ago. It's been a long day. 1 minute to make your pledge for why John Dempster should be in the Ultimate 11. In 3, 2, 1, go.
John Dempster, the man mountain. The performances that he put in the conference days, the big games, the Liverpool game, absolutely solid. The Lincoln on a Tuesday night in the replay, absolutely solid. Getting the goal, looping header. He always rose to big occasions, but also performing in the big games that we needed, putting in a good performance against Wrexham, the game we got promoted, the game against Hereford, another one, putting in another solid performance. I think not just overly getting individual performances as well, he supported the team as well. A few goals from headers, always had that support. And I think, to be honest, just as a generic player, he's good, but only, you look at some of the players that we've had recently, you look how good he actually is compared to some of them that we've had. And to be still at the club, wanting to make the Stag youth team better, I think it shows how much that guy actually lived for the Stags.
Good enough to stop you there.
Yeah. Is he sure?
Good enough to stop you there. All right. So if you thought Cam made a plea for John Dempster to be in the Ultimate 11, head to Twitter at MTFC Matters and cast your vote. Nathan, you went for Bobby Hassan. Now, you've got to put across a reasoned argument here. Before we do that, though, I have to say, somebody's been practicing the mirror, that speech.
It was rehearsed, wasn't it?
It's almost like scripted.
Yeah, so. Good stuff. Yeah.
What was yours for goalkeeper? Someone
impassioned, obviously.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Always like Dempster, to be honest. Always
fair play. You've got to put across a good argument here, Nathan. Obviously, the fact that you've gone for predominantly a right back at centre back, and you said you wanted to move him across. Maybe swapping with Baptiste, which we're flexible. That's the way football management works. But you've still got, I think, a tough job to do here to put across a good argument. Yeah. So are you ready?
I'm not rehearsed, but I'm ready.
Okay, in 3, 2, 1, go.
Bobby Hassel, also known as Robert Hassel, a solid Mansfield Town defender, versatile. Could go centre back if he wanted, but he's known to be on the right. He's solid. Any spy right running down the wing, he would knock him into the stand without any hesitation. He knows what he's doing. He would be confident in it with the ball. He's one of the very few Mansfield Town players, you know, with the young players, who was involved in success in the league. It's not happened to us very often, but he was part of it. And he's one of the very few that have also gone on to do better things as well. He's been successful at Barnsley, you know, going to higher leagues and maintained his place for the remainder of his career. And he's a top bloke as well.
Is that it?
That is.
All right, fair
for Bobby. It's a vote for a winner.
I'm going to give that a little round of applause because that was very impassioned. Well done, mate. Well done. You did start that with some passion and guts.
I did.
I feel the pressure now. I mean, if you pull one out of the bag here, that's I might as well just go and jump in that little lake behind us, to be honest. Your choice, just to remind us, Mark, was you went for Taft, didn't you, Ryan?
Not rehearsed.
Ryan?
Taft as Ollie.
Okay. So, are you ready now? No pressure. Cam's been impassioned. Nathan's been impassioned.
Yeah.
No pressure.
No.
Your time starts in 3, 2, 1.
Ryan Taft as Ollie. Man Martin. Tough tackler, no nonsense defender. You know, you've got boy to man, fantastic player, seen developed to the player he is now, to go on and play in League One. What a fantastic player he was, I mean. Rock solid, you know, fantastic player, he really was. You know, see how far he's got now in his career. He was just a brilliant player to have. Played alongside some really good partnerships. Most notably recently with Christian Pearce, solid partnership out there. Not a lot of got past him, and he was pitching to him a couple of goals as well. But such a top guy as well, and tough as on me.
I'm going to award that with a round of applause. That's very, very good. Well done. Well done. I thought that was good. I mean, it started off strong, and I thought at one point you were looking straight down the lens. I thought you were going to get up and stare down the camera and just go, "Vote for Taft." But now I feel pressure.
No.
Reese Day.
No pressure, mate.
Good luck.
I feel it. I know.
Okay.
I like how you added this. I edit in the music. I mean, you can do it if you want. I mean, it might be funny. I mean, yeah, whatever. Do what you want. It's not going to put me. If you want to try and put me off, you can. Whatever you want. Bear in mind, I'm taking you home and I will probably throw you in the water. Okay, here we go. Reece Day. 3, 2, 1. Well, Reece Day, a Welsh powerhouse, a Welsh legend, a captain as well, a captain and a leader, strong and solid like the sturdy Welshman he is at the back, arrived in his prime, in his youth, from Manchester City, the glorious heights of Manchester. Came in as a youngster, a young player, did well to shore things up in a time of uncertainty after that relegation season the year before. Keith Curl's revolution. He was the rock at the heart of that defence. He drove it forward and then broke our hearts by departing. But he went on to have a solid enough career. And when he came back, from the loan spell he had, David Holdsworth, through his revolving door, brought him back, gave him the captain's armband, and he took it. Yes, he had a few injuries, but whenever he played, he was solid, he was sturdy, he was the Welsh Dragon. He was the heart, the beating heart of Mansfield Town's defence. That is why you should vote for Reece Day. Hang on a minute, I do believe as well. Then.
That wasn't bad. I was going to add one thing. The glorious heights of Manchester City. Back in the time that Reece Day left them and joined us, weren't Manchester City considered a big team?
Mark, just do me a favour, will you just hold the microphone?
Well, I'm not knocking it, because Reece
Tate... He's trying to argue for himself,
isn't
he? That's what he's doing.
He's a fantastic player, but you look at the players that City had before...
All right, well, clearly you're not going to vote for you disagree with my Reece Tate choice, so I'm going to ask everybody...
No, Reece Tate's a good player.
Shut up,
I just disagree with the big price of Manchester City.
I'm making a point.
Fine.
I was going to ask everybody who... they would vote for out of everyone else's plays. I mean,
I'd vote for Reece Day.
Why? You've just been slagging me off.
You've been sitting there slagging off
my pitch.
I respect Reece Day, and I would choose him to be honest out of all of them. But I disagree with the heights of Manchester City. Just, I didn't think they were a big team.
Does anyone else know what his point is making?
Manchester City have only been a big team recently since they've had a bit of dosh coming in.
Were they in the higher league? Were they still a Premiership club?
Were they getting hammered a lot of the time?
Irrelevant. Yes. Were they high?
Did they have Darius Fasel playing for them at the time?
Yeah. Well, I think they probably did.
Probably Emil Eskey or something. But
well, who knows? But
he's a free agent. He's probably about 40 on now. But...
Steve, get him in.
So you say you vote for Reece Day, despite slagging off my pitch, or criticising or critiquing or whatever you want to call it, pedantic. Nathan, who would you pick?
Obviously, who's your player? I forgot.
John Dempster.
Sorry, John.
I'm a big fan of John, but I'm going to go for good old Reece.
Mark,
no. I want to say John.
See, Cam and Mark, the bromance is back, isn't it?
Yes.
Mark, silent every sound.
This is how we
do. Oh, no. Moving swiftly on, what's the next portion of the show?
Welcome back to Mansfield Matters Karaoke, where today the loser of the karaoke challenge will be taking a swim across the lake. Oh, dearie me. So that leaves me to make my choice. I'm going to stick with my fellow Ginge. I'm going to go bollock Bobby Assel.
Good lad.
Yeah, so there you go. If you want to make your casting vote, go to Twitter at MTFC Matters. Vote for the player who you wish to see in the Mansfield Matters Ultimate 11. Or if you disagree with any of us and want to get impassioned as candid about Reece Day playing for Man City, you weren't a great club. You can add the AN other option and just tweet us who you think should make it into the Ultimate 11. We'll play again in 2 weeks' time. We'll reveal the answer in next week's podcast, because next week on the podcast, because we change things up and we do things, it will be the Mansfield Matters Mastermind Challenge. There you go, that's how it works. Thanks very much for playing along. Head across to Twitter at MTFC Matters for that. Let's move swiftly on. Last night at the One Course Stadium, very, very briefly, England under 19s against Germany under 19s. Anyone go?
Yes.
No.
I had a ticket, but decided not to go.
You decided not to. You missed a floodlight failure.
Personally,
I thought that was the most entertaining thing in the entire game.
I don't want to talk about the game as entirely, because it's not England Matters, it's Mansfield Matters. I just think it's fantastic for the club to be able to, you know, to be chosen by the FA and the rules. I think, obviously, there'll be a little bit of, maybe a little, not necessarily backlash, but there'll be a few question marks asked over this floodlight thing, which is
unfortunate. We've never had a floodlight failure. Every game I've ever been to at Stag, I've never seen a floodlight failure.
Probably when Haslam was in charge.
Yeah, it was the electricity bill,
that was about it.
Still pay the electricity bills for those heaters under the Bishop Street stand, but there you guys, a different thing altogether, isn't it? It actually reminded me of something Mansfield Matters past. I mean, I don't know if any of you will remember this. Back in the day when I used to have no girlfriend, which is quite... sort of coming back to haunt me now, isn't it, a little bit more. It's like my day-to-day life and no other, you know, full-time job to keep me occupied. I used to do obviously a lot of commentary, go to as pretty much every Stags game I could get to. Paul Cox used to have a thing about obviously playing sort of mid-season midweek friendlies. Yeah. We played one against Rainworth Miners Welfare once, which I presume the Stags are actually going to do in a couple of months time to make up for the pre-season
thing. I remember this one.
Mansfield played Rainworth. It was a quite strong Stag side as well, which went down there as well. I did commentary on the game, and about midway through the first half, it went from light to absolute darkness. Every single floodlight went out. The floodlights were off for a good half an hour to 45 minutes. Any prizes for guessing who was the saviour?
I think I remember this. It was the referee. It was a Sparky.
Nathan, what would you say?
Well, I'm going to go with Cam says. I've got no idea, but he sounds quite like he knows.
Mark?
Yeah, I've got to say it, Raphael.
It was really bizarre.
I can remember reading it on Twitter, because you'd posted it, and I was like, what's going off on there? Because it was, you see one floodlight go off, or two. And at Rainworth, you've got six floodlights?
I think, yeah.
Is it eight?
I think it's six. I think it's one and a half way.
Is it on halfway? But yeah, it's quite regular. You'll get a floodlight go off at a non-league game. Just one floodlight. You don't expect them all to go off, especially to be the referee, to be the saviour.
And that was quite funny. It turns out his day job was a sparky, and he'd come straight from work, and he had his tools in his van. So
that's non-league for you, isn't it? You can't get more long.
Absolute
no more long lead than that.
Funny times. It does bring back good memories. But there you go. But obviously, it's come back to the point. It's really good to see the One Course Stadium chosen, and that's testament to John and Carolyn Radford yet again.
Yeah, it is, and it puts the club on the map as well, don't it? You know, and it's a good accomplishment for the club.
Yeah, and it's. I guess obviously, you know. They would have got a decent attendance. What was it? Can you remember what it was, Cam?
It was 3,000
or something.
I think it was about 3,500.
Yeah. And they did the fantastic thing as well, which I have to applaud as well, which was groups over, I think it was it over 12? Groups of parties over 12?
Yeah.
50p a ticket, so like football clubs could take the kids along for very little cost, and I think that's fantastic. And do you know what? I think that is testament to John and Carolyn. I mean, I like a testimonial game. I'm a fan of it. And, you know, whether it's England under 17s or, you know, a reserve team game or whatever, to get kids watching football, to get into that stadium atmosphere, to watch a good stand as well. Yeah. I think that is fantastic. So I would love to see them do that again. I think, you know, well done to all involved at the club. But if somebody's got a spare 50p.
Yeah, well, that was nicked my post from last night. But no, if I, that is obviously thinking ahead in the future, if I had a kid, I would want them, it wouldn't be bothering me if they supported like a really big Premier League team. But if they wanted to support little old Mansfield Town, I'd be thrilled, because it's, you're getting them to the football. A lot of kids would be like, oh, I don't want to go see them, they're not good. Well, like, I've seen it in the past, kids that I've brought with me that I've been friends with, they've not been interested in Stags before. And I brought them to a game before where like it were kids for a quid a few seasons ago, or you buy one adult ticket, you get a kid ticket free, and we've gone along to them games and they've been coming regularly. So it's getting people involved, and not only is it to see Mansfield, but to get, well, what are they, European champions under 19s?
Yeah.
It's great for the club and for the people of Mansfield.
Yeah, more of the same, please. Mansfield Town, it'd
definitely
be great to see those come and
get involved. Under-20s next, we've had under-18s, under-19s.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Moving
on. Let's get the next. Maybe a couple of years' time, Southgate and the boys will be coming. The one course, no, they
won't. Yeah, yeah, right, okay.
Still there.
You can pay for X.
Maybe when, right. Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, which is being built on the side of the ground, apparently.
Absolutely.
So there you go. Everything is come. That's maybe what it is. Maybe
that's
foresight. Planning. See, yeah, I like it.
Love it. It's great.
Predict the future.
Let's talk about predicting the future. Then prediction lead time as we move on to look at the two games coming up. Obviously, Grimsby on Saturday, which we touched upon, and Wickham as well. Wickham will be the tougher test for me.
Yeah.
Good side, always a tough side, always tough to beat. Obviously, remember the Chequered Trade game last year, the league games against them last year as well. Akinfenwa, of course, will no doubt be signing autographs and doing selfies.
Can we
and whatever,
just get Jamie Maguire to come play for game? He
Thank
bullied Akinfenwa every game. It was great to watch.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we need to bring back Maguire. Hashtag bring back Maguire if you agree, just for one game, just for the Wickham game.
Non-contract terms and all that.
Yeah. Dual registered with Boston or whatever, so you know. Let's get him back for that game. Maguire against Akinfenwa, and do you know what? There was always only one winner. And it wasn't Akinfenwa.
Yeah.
The beast.
It was not though, wasn't it?
Let's have a look at prediction league then. Obviously, I've not had a chance really to update the league table, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave the link in the description and put it on screen, hopefully now. If it's not appeared on screen now, if you're watching the video version, I forgot. Sorry. So we've got the latest league standings on there. We didn't pick teams last time. I asked you to message me, but you all forgot. So
it was a long way to call out.
Please do remember this week to send me the team and the captaincy choice. But let's go through the predictions of the scores and what have you. Let's start this end. I'm going to go. We'll do both. We'll start off with the Grimsby game. I will go four to start off with. I am going to go for a 3. All right, I'm going to put my neck on the line. 3-0 Stags win. Danny Rose to score one. I'm going to say that Potter will score one, and I'm also going to say that, I'm going to go for Pierce as well. I think he's due one as well. So, Mark?
I'm going to go 2-0 Stags. Goal scorers, I think Angle, the way he's been playing. And I'm going to say... I'm going to say McDonald.
Okie dokie. Nathan?
I really fancy us this weekend. I'm going to go 3-1 Stags. Because obviously we're not going to keep a killing sheet, I'm afraid. Going to go Lee Angle. My sponsored player, Paul Anderson.
The man with the greatest beard in history, that's fine,
absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm bringing it back, Paul. I mean, I felt guilty for shaving it off last time. I'm bringing it back.
I'm going to say Hammonds is going to bag his first one.
And then we'll go for yourself, Cam.
I reckon 2-0 Stags.
Yeah.
With Hemmings and... I'm stuck on this one. I hope that McDonald's plays, so I'm going to say McDonald gets a goal as well.
Okie dokie, and we'll go in reverse order as well. Give me your prediction for the Wickham game on Wickham, Tuesday night.
I think that'll be closer. I think 2-1 Stags. And... Anderson and Rose.
Okie dokie, which means Nathan, you're next.
Yep, I'm also going to go 2-1. I'm going to go for Daniel Rose.
Daniel Rose,
Daniel Rose.
Yeah. Daniel Rose.
It's a Sunday name.
I'm going to say Amari Sterling James.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Indeed. Mark.
I'm going to go 3-1 tonight. Scorers. Rose, Diamond, and Sterling James.
Okay, I'm going to probably be unpopular here. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw, and I think the goal scorer for Stags will be a cheeky little effort from Xander Diamond. So there you go. I don't think we'll beat Wickham, and Akinfenwa was always bad to score as well, isn't he? So there you go. Right, well, that is nearly it for this week's podcast. Once again, thank you as ever for joining us. But before we go, obviously, big month of fixtures coming up. It's been a big week. We've reflected on some of the negatives, the individual mistakes, which we've said have cost us probably 7 points so far this season. We've mentioned some of the positives as well. Paul Rayner said in his press conference on Monday when he spoke to the press about, you know, it's not about how you start, it is about how you finish, and it's not too concerned as yet. But is there one thing when we're reflecting on, you know, the Grimsby and the Wickham game in the podcast at the same time next week, is that what's the one thing you want to see happened for Mansfield Town? What do you want to see them change? Is it a points thing? Is it a thing on the pitch? Cam, what would you like to sort of be reflecting on and say, do you know what, I'm happy they've started to go in the right direction by doing this?
I think that the key area that I think, personally, I think we've got a fantastic squad and we really can challenge this season. I just think closing out the game a bit more. I think that's obviously cost us points at Crow. There was a 70-odd minute goal. That's where we need to start closing the game at. Accrington away, last minute winner. Carlisle, they were pushing on the back, pushing on in the last few minutes. Another one that's late slipping again against Lincoln in the cup. Another one where we've been slipping away in the last few minutes. I think we need to tighten up at the back a bit more in the last 15 minutes.
Nathan?
I agree. I agree with that. I think that is one for me to be able to see the game. But I also think I just want to win. I think we'll.
That's it, isn't it? It's that lift that winning brings. I mean, we're not playing. I mean, I said this to you on Saturday, Mark. Sorry to cut you off, Nathan. I mean, we're not playing bad football, are we, really, in spells? And, we've got points, but it's just, I think it's so frustrating, isn't it? I think that's the point you're making, isn't it, Nathan? It's just so frustrating to not have those points when we've thrown them away, really, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. It's been all our own doing. It's not really what the other clubs have done. It's what we've done, and I think as soon as we correct that, we'll obviously start winning games. So that, and if we can score a penalty, I'll be very happy. So I'll take that.
Mark?
Yeah, more of the same really, just a bit more dominant really, and just a bit more confident when on the ball really, because we'll get ourselves into a great position, and if it feels like if we get one game, we can get a bit of a run going really, and then that'll be it, I think.
Yeah, winning breeds confidence, yeah, doesn't it? And I think that's the thing for me as well. As Cam, you said, you made the point, it's tightening that vice in midfield. Well, I watched this, comes back to the Germany game last night, the England-Germany game. You see how they, as a young side, move with the ball and compact the midfield and stopped England getting through, and then was able to go and nick another goal later on. That's what I want Mansfield to do. We've got the players in there, your Digbys, your Byrons, your McDonalds, your Andersons, what have you.
Yeah.
Let's see a game out. Let's keep the ball. Let's frustrate the opposition. Make them make the silly mistakes, yeah, and we'll capitalise on them. Mm. Get that win. Breed that confidence. And if the referee points to the swat from 12 yards, from 12 yards? Ladies and gentlemen, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, started work at 6 and finished at 5. So there you go. If the referee points the spot and we get that opportunity from 12 yards, there are two things that I want to see. I don't want to see schoolyard squabbles over who's going to take the ball. Steve Evans is the manager. He makes the decision. If he says who's taking it, get on with it and get it taken and get it stuck in the back of the frigging net.
It's Steve Evans' missus, remember? He said after press.
So Mrs. Evans, if you're watching, get practising, love. And the other thing is the indecision at the back. If we're going to consist with playing with Conrad Logan, which it looks like we are, this is not a vendetta against him at all. It's really not. I just don't think the defence and the back four look comfortable with him. I want us to be comfortable with him. Let's do a trust exercise. Let's stand up in that dressing room. You know the thing where you fall back and the trust fall? Let's have that confidence in the goalkeeper, because if you've got that confidence at the back, if you've got that tightness and that understanding and that ability to work hard, and to know that whoever's behind you, whoever's on your shoulder, is going to cover you if you make a mistake, then you can push forward, and that breeds into the midfield, and then that breeds into the strikers. Yeah. Indecision, cut that out. I think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, just been more commanding as well. Yeah.
Certainly so. Last week on Friday, obviously, I went up to the Lake District, and I went on a bit of a tour. I went through White Scar Caves in the Yorkshire Dales, which were discovered by a man whose name I can't remember. Read the blog if you want to remember it. But my point is this. When he first started, he went on a voyage of discovery. He got on his hands and knees and crawled and carved out a way forward just because he wanted to find out what was on the other side. And Mansfield Town had done that. They've heard about this land which is over the other side of the lake, over the other side of the river, over the other side of the caves, through the mountains, called League One. They've heard about it. They've been there before, years and years ago, but not this current squad. A few of the players have been there, but not together. And this man got on his hands and knees and carved out a way through the caves and didn't get there in the end, he gave up. But other people came along and then they carried on that journey, and what they found on the other side was actually a thing of beauty. And do you know what it just shows? By one person's endeavours, one person's, what's the word I'm looking for? Instinctiveness? No. Desire to maybe find out what's on the other side. Impulse. Desire to go forward. Just shows, doesn't it, what you can find on the other side. So maybe, come this time next week, we'll have 6 points on the board. Maybe we'll have scored a penalty. Wow. Maybe we'll have 2 clean sheets. Who knows? Who cares? We do. Do you know why?
Because Mansfield matters.
Nate?
Because Mansfield matters.
Mark?
Because Mansfield matters.
Mansfield matters. From me, Craig Priest, from Mark Plum, from Nathan Edge, from Cam Felton, and from those geese who are chirping away and smoothly sailing across the little lake behind us. Thank you for watching, thank you for listening. See you at the same time next week. Don't forget to interact on Twitter at MTFC Matters and on Facebook, facebook.com/MTFC Matters. Why? Because this is the show for the fans, by the fans, and because Mansfield matters. Goodbye.
Days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.